Let's talk Morning Brief, shall we? And Miles Edlin getting to write about one of his favorite topics, as he does several times a year. Let me summarize. Golf is good. I think that's the bottom line, according to Miles Edlin. And fortunately for you, or maybe unfortunately, in terms of you being able to get a tee time, other people are coming around to this view as well. An increasing number of people, in fact, over the past year are apparently getting into golf or just increasing their golf outings, Miles.
Yeah, it's funny. There was a big, I think the PGA Tour had this as their ad thing like 5 or 6 years ago about grow the game. Well, the game is growing, and now maybe people think it's growing too much. But let's put some numbers around just how well the sport of golf is doing right now. The National Golf Foundation, at their latest report, this runs through June, shows that rounds played are up 23% so far this year. But as we have discussed on this program, really, you have to look past COVID and get a sense of what the real trend is. We are 19% above the average number of rounds played from 2017 to 2019. And using that couple year period is even more helpful because as we can all imagine, weather plays such a big role in how often folks are playing. You can see such, you know, large swings seasonally, particularly in the Northeast and the Midwest. You know, you could have a March that gets snowed out, or you could have a March where you can get out every weekend. And so that can really change that number. So pretty much any way you cut it, golf rounds played right now are up about 20%. And we're seeing the strength in the game in the results of the two biggest publicly traded golf companies, Acushnet Holdings, which owns Titleist. They have FootJoy, a couple other brands, but Titleist is the name that most folks would know. And then Callaway Golf, which Callaway recently made a big deal to take over their whole stake. They had about a 20% stake in Topgolf. They now outright own Topgolf, and they've integrated that or are integrating that into the overall brand. Topgolf, you know, their value is about half of what Callaway's market value was before the transaction. But we look at the what they call the hard goods side of these two businesses. So that is selling golf clubs and golf balls. And we see that the results here are quite strong for both businesses. Golf equipment revenues at Callaway up 91% in the second quarter. At Acushnet, club sales up 111% and golf ball sales up almost 100%. And you see that, you know, you have two things going on. And I think this is kind of the crux of the story as far as I can see it right now for the golf business. You need two things to play golf: money and time. People have a lot of both right now. The spending on clubs shows that you are getting both existing golfers to upgrade what they're playing with, and you have new golfers coming in to buy equipment for the first time. Callaway talked about, you know, whole set. You can buy like a whole set for, let's say, $300, whereas you buy just irons. If you're a better player, that might be $1,200, right, just for those seven clubs. So you've got new entrants coming in, buying the whole set. You've got existing golfers spending more money on their golf, and really, and particularly with the Titleist ball sales, that just shows people are getting out, right? Because what happens when, you know, non-professionals go out to play? Brian Sozzi talked about this in the program yesterday. You hit the ball, it goes out of bounds. You lose the ball. Guess what you need? Another ball. All of a sudden, you're out, and you have to go to the pro shop and buy more. And we're seeing that show up in these companies' results. And I thought it was a great comment from Chip Brewer, CEO at Callaway, on his earnings call. He said, you know, we were a little bit skeptical about how strong the business would remain after a 2020 where, as I just mentioned, time and money were quite abundant. You know, 2021, you can do other things. You can travel. You can, some people are getting called back to the office. Some people are just going back to a non-golfing life, and more people were playing, or fewer people were playing golf before the pandemic. But the industry has really come through this in a very strong position. And I think the important thing for the golf industry is that it's not necessarily dependent on there being a couple of big stars in professional golf that everyone loves, right? Business boomed when Tiger came around, but Tiger's not coming around anymore. You know, that's a once in a lifetime kind of event for any sport when a transcendent figure comes in like that and changes the trajectory. So golf needs to thrive on its own merits. Titleist talked in their call about people playing less than 18 holes. It might take 2 hours to play 9 holes, or even you can play 6 holes, be on an hour and a half. That's more manageable than 4.5 hours for a full 18. So as the industry leans into these trends, newer golfers, younger golfers, people who want to play fewer holes, I think that sets up for a healthier trajectory rather than, you know, hoping that Tiger Woods or Rory McIlroy gets everybody out on the course on the weekend.
Wow, Miles. Miles
I have
loves
no thoughts
golf,
on golf.
ladies and
I have no
gentlemen.
thoughts on the golf
But
business.
I do want to
Yeah,
ask you
go ahead.
something, Miles. When you talk about money and time, is it a problem that golf is still viewed as a rich white man's game? Like, that has dogged the sport for years. It's tried to sort of get away from that, but it hasn't really, right? So, but it that doesn't for the numbers, it doesn't seem right now to be a problem.
I mean, I think the sports, that perception of the sport is for the folks who hold it, probably never going to change, right? When I go play local public course, play East Orange up here, that's not a rich white guy hangout, right? That's a diverse crowd, and I love my local track. It's, $40 to walk it, and which in northern New Jersey is a really great price. But and to your point, Julie, that perception is not likely to change. It's very entrenched. At the same time, I think, younger kids don't necessarily view it that way. And if you get more kids playing and, younger generations in America are more diverse, just, definitionally, then you can start to change some of that character of the game. And I think it also comes down to, if you can get out and play 6 holes or 9 holes, you can be done in an hour and a half or 2 hours. It's the same length as a baseball game, same length of time as a soccer game. Almost same length of time as a basketball game, though those might be shorter for kids. And I think it's about that time element too, because no one has the patience for 4 hours. No, it's really not that fun for after the first like 9 holes. Like, and I don't, no one wants to be out there. So I think that's the other part of it that the sport, needs as an industry, they need to work with how you manage, right, your tee times, how you manage your course. But look, I think if you have more young people in, by definition, you're going to have a more diverse, group of participants. And I think that's only going to be positive for the sport.
Makes sense. All right, busting all the misperceptions, perhaps, about golf here today.